There we go. So my name is Anthony LoCicero. I am 15 years old. Today is June 1st, 2019. I'm speaking with Anthony Franci, who's my grandfather, recording this interview in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And then your turn. Then your turn to go through
these. Okay, my name is Anthony Franci. I'm 83 years old. Today is June 1st, and I'm speaking with my grandson, one of my favorite grandsons, Anthony LoCicero. We are recording this interview in Farmington Hills, Michigan.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. So these are just some topics that we had from 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, kind of the era when you were growing up.
Okay.
So, World War II. What do you remember from World War II? You were born in 36, right?
Yes.
So, being born in 36, you were...
I was 5 years old when the war started.
World War II started in America.
That America got involved. Mm. Okay.
And then you were... Oh, man.
I was 9 years old when it ended.
So you remember when it ended?
Yes.
Like, vividly?
No, just the celebrations that were going on. Headlines on the papers, because we lived in the country, so we didn't have a lot of street celebrations.
Ah. So you guys, do you remember when they dropped the bomb?
Not really. Just the headlines in the paper, because they didn't have television back then.
Oh, right. And I bet that your parents didn't tell you very much.
No, because they didn't know either, because, again, we didn't have television. We just had newspapers and radio.
Just from the paper. And after the bomb, there was the Korean and the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Those were 50s.
Koreans, it was in the 50s. Vietnam. 49, 50, 51, 52.
And then
the Vietnam was later after that. That was in the 60s. In the 60s.
Weren't you in the military?
Yeah, but I was not involved in the Korean War. I was stateside all the time.
What department were you in?
Army.
In the Army?
Yeah.
Interesting. The Cold War. So that was from 45 until 92.
The Cold War?
Yeah, technically it was from 45 to 92, but yeah. A lot of people have different interpretations of how they felt during those years. I mean,
there was not a lot of activity there as far as military for the Cold War.
It was just kind of slight tension.
Yeah.
It was just a little, it had to be interesting knowing that at any point if the two world superpowers got into a debate, the world could have ended.
Well, that was the rumors.
The rumors.
Yeah.
Right. You guys weren't sure, though.
No. Because, there's so much propaganda that goes on in the country.
Oh, yeah, the propaganda machines.
Yes. And it's hard to, you don't know what to believe,
Right. That's actually, that makes a lot of sense, not knowing what to believe. There's a lot of propaganda on both sides. The end of the world, and, this is absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so it's kind of... 10 years, they tell us it's going to end.
Right.
Of course, they said that 20 years ago.
Right. I don't know, these weren't really in order, I just kind of wrote them down, the Detroit riots. I know you guys were...
Oh, yeah, we remember that.
You guys had kids?
Yeah, and Marcia, we had Marcia, she was a baby, and I remember that they had the roads blocked off at 8 Mile and Grand River. They had tanks in the roads.
Tanks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And there was, of course, it was all kind of shooting and fires and stuff going on in Detroit, and of course it was the... It's never been the same since.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that was a pretty, like a tattoo on Detroit's legacy.
Yeah, it was scary. We had to call off a poker game one night because the riots.
Because of the riots. Watergate?
Don't remember too much about Watergate.
That was in the 70s? 80s?
No, 60s.
60s? I don't know what it was. 60s?
Yeah.
That was Nixon, right? Nixon and Watergate.
Yeah. That was the Nixon Watergate, which they've never let us forget. It was Nixon.
Really? They always pull his
name. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was the biggest crook there was up until Clinton.
Do you remember when... remember when it happened? Do you remember, like just being, like, living your life and hearing about it and how there's...
No, it just what was on the radio and what you read in the paper.
It just came up. It wasn't that really impactful.
No.
And then we have JFK, MLK, and Robert Kennedy.
Yeah.
I remember JFK was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, when he was assassinated.
Yeah.
And then after his death, they found out all the things about his life that were not as glorious as he was made out to be.
Right, like he had a bunch of affairs and he made his money off of
bootlegging. Well, and his family was very crooked.
Oh, yeah.
His dad bought the election in Chicago to get him to be president.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was... Up front, he looked amazing, but, like, in the background, they had some really, really
big... Underneath, yeah.
Yeah, they had some really shady stuff going on. Yeah. MLK, I don't know when that was, I'll be honest.
Was in the 60s, late 60s.
60s, too, in the late 60s.
And again, they memorialized him, and then they found out afterwards that he was a womanizer, and he had a lot of lies
back then. Everybody's got a different viewpoint, different opinion.
Yeah.
And then I didn't write it on here, but the moon landing, that was in 69.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big.
Yeah. I remember we were in the basement of our other house watching it.
Watching the moon landing?
Yeah.
There was, I saw a picture online, this guy's dad in the hospital, and he had a big, big, like, gash in the side of his head, and he said he was playing baseball, and he got hit with the ball, and he had a concussion and knocked him out. And he goes to the hospital, and he was in a coma for a couple days, and he was in a coma through the moon landing. And those were, like, the only 3 days. It was, like, those days, and he woke up, and they're like, yeah, we just landed on the moon. Coverage just ended. And then it was this big thing, and he was asleep through the whole thing. Oh, man. And then Woodstock, that was in the...
That was in the 60s.
The early 60s.
Early 60s.
Yeah.
And that was the start of the social revolution, so to speak. Then the downfall of the country started going downhill from that.
Yeah, it kind of had, like, a lot of really bumpy, hilly kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, before that, it was really, I don't want to say, like, cookie cutter, but there was kind of a norm, and you had to be as... Like, being successful meant being as close to that as possible, right?
Yeah.
There was kind of a...
But they had, that was a start, a real start of drugs. Yeah. And
I started a real culture.
Yeah, real bad things.
There was a lot of good that came out of it, too. There's a lot of really bad, but there's a lot of really good that came out of it, too. There's a lot of people were, people kind of spread out their interests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for better or for worse, it made it a...
Yeah, but again, that was the start of the changing of the culture of the country, too.
I think the view of whether or not that was, like, impactful or not, or good or not, or smart or not, is based on, like, the side of it that you were on while it was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people today would say that it's important because of how, like many things are involved in culture today, but... There's also a lot of people that, you know, were within the, you know, the norms before then that would say it wasn't good because now we have all these problems that we didn't used to have. So I think there's a lot of like.
Well, a lot of thoughts came out of that, and a lot of people came out of that, and they went into our colleges and changed the philosophies in the colleges too.
Yeah.
And not all for the good.
No, but there was some good in it.
It's hard to find.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was mostly the majority of people viewed it as like a pretty big deal.
The people who participated in Woodstock, the druggies and stuff, they were from colleges and stuff, and they went into teaching, and they were carried their Woodstock beliefs with them.
Interesting. Yeah. So you think the new generation is just a byproduct of how the 60s and 70s were like that a lot of, like, change, and Woodstock was just like a prime example of what was going on, like, in the background of, like, everything.
Yep.
So you think a lot of the culture and, like, the pop culture and the people that are here today are because of that?
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about it like that. That's pretty It's pretty pretty interesting. These are some. So these were the some of the. I don't. I had another slide of this. I don't know where it went. That's interesting. I had another like set of things like this. Mm-hmm. So this is like the seven. This is like the 60s and 70s. I had more 70s and 80s stuff. I had. I'm trying to think. I don't know what was big in the 70s and 80s. What were some big like political worlds, kind of events from then?
Well, the Korean or the Vietnam War was ending in the 70s.
That was good.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of backlash against that.
Yeah.
People hated that,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
And, yeah. Happiest, saddest moment, what's different about how you thought life would be? So, that's crazy. So, you're, I mean, you're, Jesus, that dog's loud. Well, I'm gonna pause this. All right. The happiest and saddest moment, so.
Oh, the happiest was when we had children. Okay, and the saddest was when my parents passed away.
How far apart did they pass away?
Well, Linda, your mother was born in 1968, and my dad passed away a month and a half later in October.
That's pretty.
68.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Your dad passed away in 68. Yeah. When did your mother pass away?
1994.
Wow, wait, 30 years?
Yeah.
30 years?
Yeah.
How old was your dad?
My dad was 82.
I'm sure your mother was a lot younger than that.
Yeah, she was 94 when she passed away.
15.
So she was quite a bit younger than he was. Yeah.
I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. I never thought about it like that. And the happiest when your kids were born. You had kids in 68, 69, 71.
And then the grandkids came along.
And the grandkids came along.
Which was another happy, joyous time.
Yeah. So, not going off of these questions, but you grew up with, what, six or seven?
I had five sisters and one brother.
So there were six brothers and sisters in your house.
Yeah, there were seven of us all together.
Seven kids and a mom and a dad.
Yeah.
So where did you guys grow up? What was that kind of like growing up? What was the living conditions?
Well, we lived in the country. For trash, you went out and dug a big hole in the backyard because everybody had some property. You put all your trash in there, and you had an outhouse. Yeah.
Times have really changed.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of money?
No.
No.
Very little.
Very little.
I started working when I was 13, and I would contribute some of my earnings from 50 cents an hour to the family well-being. Don't turn the light on.
50 cents an hour?
Yeah.
Wow. What was your first job?
Working in a grocery store.
You're like a bagger?
Yeah, bagger, stocker, whatever had to be done.
50 cents an hour?
We'd even go out and sweep the streets sometimes.
That's crazy.
When things got awful.
Yeah. So you... what's the age gap between you and your siblings? Who's the oldest and who's the youngest?
My oldest sister was Adeline. I don't remember her age now. But my brother Mike was almost four years older than I was. And Anna would be, she was 2 years older than him. And Alice was probably 2 years older than her. And Adeline was probably 2 years older than her.
So you were the youngest?
No, there was Aunt Dorothy and Aunt Mary.
Wow, there's a lot of you.
Yeah.
So you had two younger sisters and four older sisters?
Three older sisters, yeah.
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 Wow. That's crazy. And then what's different about how you thought life would be? So I know everybody as a kid thinks about how like the rest of their life will go. Because you never know, right?
No.
You never know.
Well, your goal was to get a job and provide for your family. And strive to improve yourself.
Improve like the living quality of yourself and your family.
That's right.
Do you think it went like exactly how you expected? Like
It's fate. You just follow the path.
Right.
That's ahead of you.
Go with what happens. You keep like some goals in mind, and
yeah.
then use the goals in like whatever kind of situation you get.
just like when I started working on a full-time basis, I was making $1.70 an hour. And I thought, boy, if I can never make $2 an hour, I'll really be in heaven.
And then you just started like going past that. And
yeah.
I bet. So you worked, you had a job when you were 19 and you retired when you were 16.
Yeah, I actually started with a company when I was 18 and a half, and I retired when I was 62.
Wow, so that's
43 and a half years.
43 and a half years.
Yeah.
That's a long time. So you started working in what job?
Landscaping at the company, outside,
cutting. Mowing grass.
Mowing grass, trimming bushes.
Wow. So. And you finished doing what?
Purchasing manager.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty important job. Yeah, yeah. When you're there for a while, you get a lot of people's trust and confidence,
and you got to know a lot of people too.
I'm sure connections are a pretty big part of it.
And when you work for a family-owned company, you always, there's no standing around.
You're always working.
Yeah,
you're always getting stuff done.
Yeah,
I think back then, definitely, like you said, the expectation was provide for your family and get a good income and make your living conditions well enough to be, you know, safe. And I think that's a very noble goal. I think you did a good job with that. Because, I mean...
Well, it's, you got to be in the right place at the right time, too.
Yeah. I mean, you guys aren't...
And have a good work ethic.
Yeah. A lot of hours, a lot of, you know, brown paper bags for lunch. A lot of time.
It was very challenging, but rewarding.
Yeah, that's good. Are there any positive memories or moments from your life that you think shaped who you are today? Is there any single events in your life that you think without you'd be completely different? You'd think just...
No. When I started working at Star Cutter Company, the owner of the company sort of took me under his wing, and he was quite a driving force. He gave me a work, showed me a work ethic, and he rewarded it too.
Oh, that's good. A lot of, I think, you may disagree because it's a different time. But a lot of the work ethic in school is not, I don't think it's rewarded as it should be, because there's a lot of kids that try really, really hard, and there's just a lot of reasons that it's not working that people either don't understand or don't like. Acknowledge, and a lot of people that work really, really hard for things that they want don't get them, and then people that work barely any at all get it because of things that they can't control.
Yeah.
And I think the people that do have a good work ethic and are rewarded and are like enriched do really well, and the people that aren't either rewarded or don't have a good work ethic are kind of...
Well, there's a certain amount of maturity that's required also as you age. Your philosophies might change, and your thought process might change, and hopefully it's always going to be for the better and improving.
Yeah, that's a good way to view it. Are there any negative events or memories that think shaped you right today? So like the same question, but without it you wouldn't be, you know, as...
No, I don't think I've been pretty fortunate in my lifetime. My parents as long as I did. I had my siblings as long as I did.
You're a nice rich family. That's good to hear. What do you feel most grateful for in your life? What do you feel most grateful for?
Oh, health.
Health?
Health.
You.
Good health.
A lot of people don't make it to 83, and you're really healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one of the healthiest people I've ever seen, and just in general. I don't know a lot of people my age that are as healthy. I mean, people wake up, and people's daily routines is sleeping in till, you know, noon, and then they eat a bag of chips and a bowl of ice cream, and they watch TV for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And
friends. You got to have a lot of contact, a lot of friends.
A lot of friends. A lot of...
Get out and see people.
Be healthy and be with the community and family and stuff. I think I'll remember that, actually. That's a pretty important one. I've heard a lot of different answers from people, not just you and Grandma, but a lot of, like, adults in general that I've talked to about that. And I've had a lot of, like really simple, really, like, cliche things, but health and friendship are not usually high on people's lists. Mm. I usually get, like, I don't know, I don't know. I can't even think of one right now. Yeah. There's just a bunch of relief.
I like to be around positive people. I don't like to be around negative people.
I do think one of the biggest factors for living like healthy and a long life and being like active and everything is like the overall like your state of mind. I think a lot of like negative things come out of like a negative state of mind and vice versa.
Yes.
Like if you have good friends and family and a good challenging but rewarding life, that's the way things get done. That's the way things get rewarded and like enriched, and that's the way things like advance. That's the way we advance like positively, and not just people have like no problems and then they finish it and they don't like get anything from it. And there's a lot of like holes in that. So having a lot of problems but still finishing them and being like reward and like feeling good and like being able to work when you need to and work hard when you need to, and then when that's done with, being able to play and enjoy your life and yourself and being able to live like with the good people in your life. I think that's a big part of it. What are some of the most important lessons you've learned, and how did you learn them? So like any important things from like lessons from like a business owner, like a boss, or like a teacher,
a lot of good mentors in my life in various fields.
Good. What do you think is the biggest one?
Oh, probably my boss, who gave me the work ethic.
At your job, Starcutter?
Yeah. Yes.
He took you. Do you know why he took you under his wing?
Hmm?
Do you know why he took you under his wing? Do you know why he chose you to?
Because he could see that I was trying to make an effort to do better.
That's good. The effort was rewarded. A lot of times it doesn't always happen. Tell me about one of your most difficult memories.
Probably when my father passed away. That was my first exposure to death in the family.
I bet that was a pretty big pretty big event.
Yeah.
So how long would you say you felt the effects of that afterwards?
Oh, it took several months.
How did you react to it? How did you find out about it first? Were you with him? Was it like kind of like a slow?
No, it was relatively fast. He went relatively fast. He wasn't feeling good. I took him to a doctor on Friday, and I had to lift him to put him up on the table. And he passed away the next Sunday morning.
Yeah, what was it of?
Oh, number of things.
Just Wow. What was kind of your? Well, how did you find out? Were you there when it happened, or did you get a call?
No, I went over to the house where he lived, which was about 4 miles away, and on Sunday morning, and I took Marcia with me. She was the baby, and we got there, and he had passed away, and he was on the floor. So.
Wow, it's kind of hard to hard to see.
But you don't think about the negatives,
right?
That's part of life.
It's a new.
New experience.
A new experience. Yeah. It's a new beginning of. I don't know, more of being your own man, kind of thing. You gotta like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope you got as much guidance to lead you. You know, through your life and.
Well, my family was did not have great means, wealth wise.
Yeah.
So, Brother Mike and I had to go out and pay for the funeral and buy some cemetery lots.
Yeah. That must have been
interesting.
How would you like to be remembered? This is a.
Well. It's having a lot of friends.
When I think of you, I always think of the guy that I could ask anybody on the street in Farmington who you were, and they'd all know.
Oh, yeah.
Any person, even like, not even close to your age, any person in any kind of involved role knows who you are, and that's just.
Well, one thing I always try to show is respect for other people, especially older people, older than myself.
Because they. They got some experience.
Yeah.
Kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
That's good. I will remember you as the guy who had a lot of friends. But I mean, there's got to be more. There's got to be something else. I mean, I remember you as the guy that was, you know, showed respect to all the people that he was with and, you know, positive attitude all the time.
Yep.
You took the absence of, like, physical, like, financial wealth, and you turned it into something that a lot of people don't have, and that's a very strong, like, family and very strong relations with, like, your friends and mm-hmm. people that are, like, with you in business and stuff. That's... Yep. I don't think a lot of people get the opportunity to do that. So.
Yep. Well, I've been very, very fortunate, too.
Yeah. That's good. And then the last one. If you were to die suddenly this evening, I know it's a little dark, but if you were to die suddenly this evening, what would you most regret not having done, and why haven't you done it?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I guess maybe not having spent more time with my family.
Because you...
Family.
Specifically family. Just
yeah.
Your wife and kids and parents and brothers and sisters.
Yeah. And grandkids.
And grandkids.
Yeah. Huh.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong at all with the choice that you made. It was a very important choice. A very important decision. It's hard to give up time with your family for something that's ultimately more important. Your overall, like, your family's well-being is important.
Yeah.
That's very important. So.
My younger sister, Mary Jo, passed away a year after I retired, and I regretted not having spent more time with her when she was so close. She was, you know, about 2 or 3 miles away, so.
Yeah. Well, that's,
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to hear.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so these are all the questions I had here. One more thing that I didn't add, but I had in the last one was, is there anything that, if this was our last conversation, is there anything that, you want to know about me that I've never told you, or anything about you that you've never told me, anything like vice versa? And I'd like to do one of each.
I just want you to be the best you can be.
Be the best I can be?
Yeah. Whatever you do. Everything, remember, everything is a challenge in life.
Everything's a challenge?
Yeah.
So.
Just try to be the best you can be. Stay within yourself.
So what's something, slowly adding on to that, what's something that I don't know that you would like to tell me, or something that you don't know that I'd like to tell you?
No.
Something like
I now have 2 health issues, and they're not life-threatening, but one is lack of energy, and the other is balance. Being able to have good balance. And those are my 2 health issues.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Have you told anybody that?
Oh, yeah. I've been going to a neurologist for the balance and also the energy.
Oh, I didn't know that. So
yeah.
Thank you for telling me. I know a big thing is health, and it's kind of hard to see. I mean, obviously, it's inevitable because of just physics, but...
Yeah.
It must be kind of interesting to see, like, a big part of that. I mean, it's going to happen, but, I mean, you made it a lot. You're a lot healthier than most people are, and you're a lot more experienced than most people are, so it's...
But, like, people I walk with at the mall, 90, 89,
yeah.
87,
yeah.
You know, and that's a goal. That's a challenge, too.
It is a challenge. I mean, I'm sure a lot of those people have their own challenges
and issues, yeah.
Their own health problems.
Yeah.
And then something about me that you'd like to know. What's something that you just...
What is your goal in life? Is it too early to say?
I don't know, honestly.
That's understandable, because there's a lot of open space out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of time, so I'm incredibly competitive for whatever reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will not lose things if I can help it. I think my most general goal, the only thing that I know for sure, is that I don't know what I want to do, and I don't know where I want to live, and I don't know who I want to be with, and I don't know anything.
Well, that's fate.
Anything
fate
like that
determines that,
right,
as you go forward.
Fate. I think whatever happens, whatever I end up doing, whoever I'm with, I want it to be. I want to be the best that I just physically can be.
That's
like,
what I said.
Best that I just physically, like whatever I pick to do, it doesn't matter if what I pick to do, I think is I don't know, as long as it's right for me,
yeah.
I want to be the best that I just like physically can be.
Absolutely.
There's no point in not. And I don't care. Like there's a lot of people that want to be like the best at like a sport, no, like the best at like a certain type of music. But that if that's not,
you know, you just want to be competitive.
Yeah, if that's just being competitive to be competitive, that's different. But doing something that one day I'll find something and I'll do it a lot and I'll have kind of like a long lasting like love for it, and whatever thing that is that I find, I want to be as good as I physically can be at it. That's my goal.
Okay. Well, that you got to have goals in life.
You have goals.
But there's always going to be challenges, but you have to overcome those challenges as best you can.
Take the
and
good
not
part.
Not everyone's going to be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I think a perfect life isn't even worth living.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have no challenges, there's no reward, no relief, no.
How do you handle adversity?
Right. If there's none.
Yeah.
Assuming you lived in like a utopia, like a perfect world where you had no health issues and you were healthy and you were active and you were just everything is perfect. There's no hate. There's no crime. There's no problems. Mm-hmm. There's no disasters. Assuming this kind of thing existed, why would you even do anything?
Yeah.
If anything was easy, why would you even do it? Because you can have it. Anything you want. You can have money, you can have fame, you can have power. I mean, if it's all right at your fingertips, why even work for it?
Yeah. No, you gotta take it one step at a time, one day at a time. That's life. Yeah. Okay?
Yep.
Are we done?
Ah, yes.
Hey.
Thank you.
You know, you're my favorite Michigan grandson.